Stewardship. Stewardship. First must be a steward, right? Praise God. Now remember, a steward is one that doesn't own it, but the owner has given something to the steward to utilize, no matter what it is. You know, some of us who have been working in places have earned a position of foreman or something to that degree, and what's been given to us is a stewardship. So you've been given authority. And not that you own the company, but you've been a part of the company. And to be a steward, or to maintain stewardship, there must three major things that must be a character. And the character or reference should be responsibility, accountability, and faithfulness. Because if we're not responsible, if we're not accountable, we're certainly not going to be faithful. Amen. So three major characters to maintain stewardship is to is responsible, accountable, and faithful. And God is looking for good stewards. The Bible says that we are stewards of the gifts. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. In other words, we are stewards of the inheritance of God. Amen. And I want to just share a little bit about it, but one of the things I'm going to share, which is very important, because without responsibility, we won't go any further. Does everybody get it? Now, responsibility, well, the word response is involved in the word responsibility. So if you're responsible, it means you're responding to something or a command or a desire that's been given from the upper echelon of authority over you. In other words, you're responding to it. We have what we call common sense responsibilities. You know, when you drop something, you pick it up, or you end up falling over it. Amen. But there are spiritual responsibilities. You know, and one of the things that the Bible says is seek God, seek Him, seek His righteousness, seek the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. So there are responsibilities, and God is looking for faithful stewards, and the position of a faithful steward, God is always in the multiplying business. He's always wanting to promote His children. Always. When He created Adam and Eve, He said, be fruitful and multiply. You know, so He's always trying to promote His children. But we got to start somewhere, don't we? Everybody must start somewhere. Nobody starts at the top. Nobody starts at the middle. Everybody starts at the bottom. And you earn your way. Now, salvation is a gift. Everything else is earned. And you get these things from God. He promotes you, because He's the one that's a promoter. And He positions you on your faithfulness, on your stewardship, on how responsible you are, and how accountable you are, and how faithful you are. Those three things. And He begins to position you. And what He's trying to do is position you to a place where you are not only a steward, but you become a partner. Does everybody get it? He wants to bring you to a place where you become partner. And when you become partner, let me tell you something, other things begin to happen. Amen? Okay. So responsibility is an act of being responsible, isn't it? Or being accountable. Someone who responds to a condition or commands that have been delegated to them. So we must be responsible. In fact, the fruit of accountability is responsibility, if you think about it. Because if you're not accountable, you're certainly not responsible. And if you're not responsible, you're certainly not accountable. So they work hand in hand, don't they? And if you're not responsible, accountable, you're certainly not going to be faithful. I mean, you're not even going to get to faithfulness. Hallelujah. So, and what we're doing in this area, we are not only learning responsibility, but being accountable so that we can be faithful. And the reward in this is trust and respect, isn't it? In fact, it will also be honor. Not that we are gaining it for ourselves, but we are gaining it for Him. Jesus says, humble yourself and he will exalt you. So there are certain things that he's going to give us to see if we are responsible, that we can be accountable, and to see if we're faithful with it. And if we're not, then we don't go any further. Then what happens is we become self-promoting and end up falling instead of allowing God to bring us into that position. Amen? In other words, we can't run on emotions. We can't run on things that we used to run on. We must run on fellowship. We must run on fellowship in the Spirit. And you'll find out without fellowship in the Spirit, you're running on you. You know, there is a will that's, there is strength in our will, isn't there? I mean, we had strength in our will to do all the wrong things. In fact, your own strength can keep you going for a little while. But eventually it won't last. It won't last. Because we must have the strength in the Spirit and we'll go all the way. But those who are acknowledging their own strength or their own willpower, they'll end up blowing it until they get the power of Christ and the anointing. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to, Zechariah. Zechariah 3. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Zechariah chapter 3. Hallelujah. Everybody there? You got a page? Good. Let's read this together, okay? Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Is everybody there? Okay. I heard one voice and it was mine. Praise God. Let's try this one more time, okay? Come on, the Bible says when two touch and agree, right? Okay, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and if you will keep my command, then you shall also judge my house and likewise have charge of my courts, and I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. So understand that God is trying to bring us into a position. We are a partner. From steward to partner. Amen? And not that you're not a steward still in your partnership, but you are a partner. You know, when you go to work for somebody or wherever you may be, you know, sometimes it feels a little strange, and like they'll be asking you to work overtime or whatever, and it's like, you know, I'm working all these hours for this person, and I'm not getting anything on it. Well, we need to turn our focus on laboring unto the Lord. Amen. 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 And not unto this person. But, you know, there's something different when you become a partner. It's like, yeah, I'm a part of this thing now. I'm going to put a little bit more into it. I'm going to not only start looking out for my area, but I'm going to start looking out for the whole area. And I'm going to make sure everything is done right because I'm a partner. Amen? See, when you become a partner in the body of Christ with the Lord, you're looking out for everything, not just your area or yourself. You're looking out for everything. And that's what God wants us to bring. The word Emmanuel means God is with us. God's purpose was for us to be co-laborers with Him. That's where grace comes into effect. Grace is not only a representation of holding God's judgment back in God's favor, but it's a representation of co-labor. So we become co-laborers. We become partners with the Spirit of the living God. Amen? With the kingdom. Yes, we all have a part. Right? Everybody here has a part in the body of Christ. We all have a part of stewardship in the body of Christ. But God wants us to go beyond just this stewardship, but to maintain stewardship and become a partner with Him. Amen? And you know, a partner has a say. A steward doesn't have much. He just says yes. But a partner has a say. Not that we don't have a say, do you understand? But more authority is delegated to someone who's a partner. You know, if you see people out there that are foremen and people out there that are laborers, when the owner comes, they listen to the foreman, not the laborer. Amen? Amen. Not that the laborer doesn't have a say, but the foreman has more of a say. Why? Because he's a partner. Amen? And God is training all of us to come into that place. And we all must get there. There must be a desire of ours to fulfill an office of partnership with the Lord. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Peter 4. Just a simple, quick teaching tonight. Oh, to God be the glory. 1 Peter 4. Glory to God. Oh, this is good. Okay. Let's start at verse 3. Let's read this one together, okay? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3. Let me repeat that. Let's read this one together, okay? Hallelujah. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In other words, man, we've wasted enough time. We've wasted enough of this wonderful life that God has given us in serving the devil, and it's time to serve the Lord all the way. Amen? Verse 4, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dispensation, speaking evil with you. Well, nobody said that when you become a good steward that you're going to be patted on the back. Hello? You're going to be attacked. Amen? Amen? You're going to be attacked. Oh, man, what made you so righteous, man? God?
Hallelujah.
Man, how come you don't want to party no more? Because it's evil. Yeah, well, where'd you get all this stuff from? God. I mean, God speaks to you? Yeah, you're crazy, man.
Praise God.
Hello? Man, you don't want to run with me no more, man? Come on, we used to do war buddies, you know? Come on, we did it all together. Forget it, man. That ain't me no more. Amen? And we have that choice. We can either go back and satisfy the soul, or go forward and satisfy the spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's go on. Verse 6. Oh, wait a minute. Verse 5. I couldn't miss that one. Wait a minute. Come on. They will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Woohoo! For this reason, the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Whoa-ho! Come on. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. You know, when you're serious with God, God is serious with you. Hallelujah. Verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we're to be what? Good stewards, aren't we? So we've been transformed from the ways of wickedness to become good stewards of the things of God.
Amen.
Amen? Now, we all have a choice, don't we? God doesn't interfere with that. He gives us a choice. You can either go one way or go another. But we must have a choice and make that conscious effort want to be good stewards of the Lord. That's that free will. We must make that choice. Hey, look, you can be filled with the Spirit of God, praying in tongues, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and still make a conscious choice to do the wrong thing. Amen? You can still make that conscious choice to do the wrong thing. To God be the glory. Let's not do it.
Amen.
Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. Oh, Jesus. And the Bible tells us that if you know what is good and don't do it, you sin. Even though you know it. If you know what is good and don't do it, you sin. It's counted as sin. Amen? Now, I've had people come up to me and share with me, you know, about sin. Yeah, well, I knew I was going to do this and I asked God to forgive me. I said, man, God didn't forgive you. What do you mean He didn't forgive me? Because you deliberately went and did it. That's not forgiveness.
It's not repentance.
Amen? It's not repentance. In other words, God isn't forgiving you because you truly didn't repent. Because the word repent means to turn away. So an individual may say, well, look, I'm only partying on weekends. So every Monday I repent. You're not forgiven because that's truly not repentance. Repentance means turn away. You can't expect to go out and drink the cup of demons every Friday and Saturday night, Sunday hungover all day, and Monday morning when you're okay the strength to repent and get ready again for Friday night. It doesn't work. That's not repentance.
Amen.
That's stupidity.
Amen.
Amen. So repentance means I need help. Lord, help me. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Get me into a detox. Get me into a drug program. Get me some help. That means turning away.
Amen?
Amen. Praise be to God. All right, so go. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. Let's start somewhere. Verse 1. Let's read verse 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Wow. See, we're to be stewards of the mysteries of God, aren't we? First, you got to know the mysteries of God. You can't be a steward of something you don't know. And if you're not a witness as a good steward, how can anybody hear you?
Amen.
Amen. They can't hear you. Let's go to verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. That's a steward that will have a witness, won't it? Amen. So God is calling us to stewardship. First of all, we must be responsible. We must be accountable, and we must be faithful. That's what maintains stewardship and brings us into that other office of partner. Okay, let's go to Matthew 25, use an example here. Matthew 25 and verse 14. Hallelujah. Is everybody there?
Yes.
Amen.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Ah, that's a steward, isn't it? Delivered his goods to him. He said, here, use my goods. But he didn't own the goods, did he? In verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1. And to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now understand something. God gives you things according to your ability. So many people are trying to do so many other things, but God's not giving it to them. And he gives you things according to your ability. Amen? He's not out to destroy us or to test us so badly that, you know, he's not up there as an old man on some, you know, I always used to picture God as, you ever see those statues of Abraham Lincoln at the museums on that concrete seat, you know, with this big stick waiting for me to do something wrong, you know, but he's not that way. He's a friend, and he's a daddy, and he's a loving daddy. So he's not going to give you anything more than you can handle either, good or bad, okay? Let's go on. In verse 16, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded them and made another 5 talents. Well, that's pretty good. So this individual was responsible enough to what he was given to do something with it. Amen? Why? Because he knew that he had to be accountable, didn't he? But he was, first of all, was responsible for what was given to him. Let's go to the next one. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. He was also responsible. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground and hid his Lord's money. In other words, he didn't do anything, did he? Something was given to him and he didn't do nothing with it. Verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. Wow. In verse 21, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's go on. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So this one was found faithful in what was given to him. According to what? His ability. So many people are trying to pick up other abilities that they don't have. And they end up taking too much of a load. And they can't carry it. Amen? Because what God has given us is what we're to be using. Does everybody understand that? Praise be to God. Okay, let's go to the next one. Then he, verse 24. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talents in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Now really, what did he do? Nothing. You know what he did? He didn't want to do anything. A choice was given there, wasn't there? Verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. Now check that out. What did he call him? A wicked and lazy servant. Whoa. That'd be a bummer to get before the Lord. Hey, you made it home. Praise God. Got before him. He said, you know what? You are a wicked and lazy servant. The things that I did for you, the things that I showed you, you didn't share. All the things that I've done for you, you didn't give what I gave you. You're a wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Listen, God didn't just rescue you to put you on a shelf.
Amen.
He rescued me and you, first of all, to have fellowship. And if you truly have fellowship and you truly have a love affair with the Lord, you want to give. You want to serve. Does everybody get it? Service is not required to enter heaven. Relationship is. In verse 28. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. So he took it and gave it to the one that had 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be what? Taken away. Wow. Hello. Let that get in your heart. Because we need to know this. God will not be mocked.
Amen.
We're supposed to be a witness. What kind of witness is someone that takes what God has given them and then goes and hides it? That ain't much of a witness.
Amen.
He calls them a wicked and lazy servant or steward. Amen? Praise be to God. Let's go a little further. You know what? And these talents that he's talking about, we can actually utilize those as like responsibilities. Because the one had 5 responsibilities, another one had 2 responsibilities, and one had 1 responsibility, and he wasn't even willing to take care of the 1 responsibility. Amen? Because God had authorized that this one individual be able to handle the 5 responsibilities, the other one to handle the 2 responsibilities, and the other to handle the 1 responsibility, but he wouldn't even do anything with it. So he called him wicked and lazy. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke 12. Luke 12. Hallelujah. Verse 43. Praise be to God. Stewardship, responsible, accountable, and faithful. To God be the glory.
Thank you, Lord.
And verse 43, please. Let's read it. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. Hallelujah. That's faithful. So it's not about, you know, let me share this with you. It's when nobody's around looking. As we're... You must be accountable. What are you doing at your job? Well, nobody's around looking. I think I'll sit down. If you can't be accountable to man, you certainly cannot be accountable to God. It will never work. Because there is no relationship.
Amen.
In the spirit, you may have a relationship with letter, but in the spirit, there's not that relationship. Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about me not able to sit down during work when nobody's around. That's because they got a letter relationship and not a spirit relationship. And there's a difference. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 45. But if that servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. Wow. You know how many believers have left their stuff and it's gone to unbelievers? Think about it. And then they blame it on the devil.
Yeah, well, the devil really tore up everything here, man, and I lost everything.
No, man, you allowed the devil to take it.
Amen.
People got to stop blaming the devil. Yes, our fight is against powers of darkness, but the Bible says the devil touches you not unless you let him.
Amen.
Amen. Of course he's trying to take it. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to kill us. He's trying to take everything we have. But only if we allow him to take it can he take it. And it's given to unbelievers. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to verse 47. And to that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. Hallelujah. Verse 48. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with a few. So you're still going to get it. You ain't getting away. You can't claim ignorance. You can't claim ignorance before daddy. It don't work. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. Do you understand that? A plain, simple, common language. For how much God has done for you and what has been given to you and what responsibility has been given to you, you are required and accountable for it. Every single one of us. For much is given, much is required. In other words, you're responsible. You know, when people come into a service, especially at the jail, and there are guys that have been there the first time, and the Spirit will quicken me and he'll change the message or something to, you know, throw a rescue line to them. But first of all, he shoots to the heart so that conviction can come, because sometimes you need a blow to the heart to bust that hardness. And when I'm done, I'll share with them, okay, now you all heard what's been said by the Spirit, right? Well, now you're all accountable. Oh, they don't like that. They get all fresh. Man, what do you mean, man? That's right, man. You're accountable. If you die and get before God, he's going to tell you that his servant came in and preached and spoke to you exactly what his Spirit wanted to speak. Now you're accountable. Everything you hear, you're accountable. Everyone in here tonight, let me share something new. Very important. What's being spoken tonight is being written tonight.
Amen.
Does everybody get it?
Amen.
It's called the Book of Remembrance. Everything that is done is written. We are accountable for everything. Everything. We just read a little while ago that all of us will get before God and be accountable. We're all accountable. So we can never get before God and say, well, Lord, I didn't know. He'll say, listen, here it is. You were here this day, you were here that day, this was told to you, and you rejected it. You were here this day and rejected it. Now, if we get right with God and we follow him, all of that's wiped away through the blood. Amen? But if we don't, hello. Now, let me share with you. It's nothing is wiped away, truly wiped away, until we're before him. Does everybody get it? Everything is wiped away before, because the Bible says about the name being blotted out. So everybody's name is written in the book of life. Even the wicked. When I get before the Lord, when the day of their last breath determines where they go and what's wiped out and what isn't. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Yes, our sins have been forgiven, haven't they? Amen. But it's all recorded. Everything is recorded. There's an eternal recording system out there. It doesn't need any power. It's its own power. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to share. Let's go to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Okay. And Proverbs 18, I believe. That's what I get. Oh, okay, yeah. And verse 9. Is everybody there? Come on, let's read it together. He who is slothful in his work. Hello. Now, wait a minute. If you have a responsibility and you're slothful, it's not just about laboring. It's about responsibility. We have a responsibility as fathers, mothers, parents, husbands and wives. We have responsibilities in everything, in our jobs. We have a responsibility. God has delegated these responsibilities to all of us. Amen?
Amen.
Now listen, he who is slothful in his work or responsibility is a what? Brother to him who is a great destroyer. Whoa. You want to hang around with somebody that's irresponsible? The Bible says that what? Bad company corrupts good habits. I was going to say good habits. But anyways, it's bad company that corrupts good habits. Amen? Slothful, lazy. Let's go to another one. Ecclesiastes 10, I like this one. Ecclesiastes 10. Glory to God. Have you ever been at a job where the person you're working with, you know, like, it's right after Proverbs. Where the person you're working with, you're always having to pick up his slack. You know what I'm saying? Because that person, in other words, you're partnered with somebody and you're working with them, and the individual just can, you're always picking up, he's always leaving the bolts behind, he's always, whatever, you're trying, that's slothful, irresponsible. You know what happens? It slows down the whole process. You know how many slothful people are in the body of Christ? It's ridiculous. The body of Christ should be much further than where we are now. I remember one day I was praying to the Lord, and I was just crying out to the Lord because something had occurred, and I was just wondering. I said, Lord, now I understand why you said the laborers are few. Everybody wants to labor their own way, but they don't want to labor the way God wants them to. Or they're not faithful laborers. They'll labor for a little while, and they'll choose to do their own thing. And he shared with me about how the body of Christ suffers because of the slothfulness of those who are not willing to come aboard. It's like a boat that goes down the river, and they're dragging the people that are not in it. You know what I'm saying? And that the body of Christ, the children of God, need to get up and get in position and become good stewards of what God has called them to be. You know, we know in our heart what we're supposed to do because he's placed it there. But we can reject it. We can try and cover it. But you can't get rid of it.
Amen.
You know, the Lord had put something in my heart about blessing this ministry, a specific ministry. And it was a fair amount of money. And I thought, Lord, is this you? No, I don't care about giving money away, man. If he said, write the whole whatever, praise God, because I know he's trying to get something to me. Hello? But I wasn't sure, because my carnal mind said, man, this ministry certainly doesn't need any. I mean, you know, they don't need anything. So I waited, and I was laying in bed, and one night, and he says, you going to do that? I said, yeah, I'll do that. I said, all right. So the next day I got up, and I'm thinking, now wait a minute, that was you, right, Lord? I want to make sure. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, I'm really struggling with this. I want to make sure that it's God. And because you know, this money could go for, you know, my carnal mind is like saying, well, man, there's so many children that need food. There's so many children. I mean, there's so much stuff. But so I said, all right. So today I got up again. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. I packed the baby up. Me and her went to the place. We blessed them with the money, and we left, you know. But I just knew that in my spirit, I had to do this, but I was checking. I was checking. You know, God wants to know if we were going to be faithful. And let me share something with you. There'll be a time when He'll won't ask you. He'll let it ride, and you'll miss the opportunity of what He's trying to bring to you. Because we must be responsible, accountable, and faithful. And I've shared this over and over when he shared with me about bringing some money to a place and he quadrupled it 3 days later. Because when he's asking me and you to do something, it's not because he's trying to take something from us. It means he's trying to bring something to us. But our carnal mind is where we'll fight and go, man, Lord, this can't be you. I've got to give this stuff up, but I've got to give this stuff up. No, he's saying, I'm trying to bring you something better. Aren't you tired of driving, though? I better not say any names. let's just say a beat-up car. aren't you tired of pushing that car? It's time to drive one. Praise be to God. Okay. Ecclesiastics. That wasn't meant for you, Tim. That was just... it was just an example. Cars are wonderful examples. But why we're there? No. Ecclesiastics chapter 10, hallelujah. In verse something. Okay. Let's go to verse 18. Let's read this together. Because of laziness, the building decays. Well, who's the building?
We are.
Amen. And through idleness of the hands, the house leaks. Woo! Some of us have leaky vessels.
Amen.
We haven't been maintaining these vessels. You maintain these vessels by fellowship, praise, worship, and getting in the Spirit, reading the Word. Hello? The Word's a good patch. And the Holy Ghost takes the Word and uses the patch. So praise God. Laziness allows the building to decay. Amen? You know, the Bible says, no working, no eating. No praying, no giddy. No fellowship, separation. The wages of sin is what?
Death.
Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to 2 Timothy 1. Is everybody all right? Glory to God. I see some shoes being changed tonight. Second Timothy chapter 1. Glory to God. You know, I just don't understand why the Lord doesn't do this and do that. Because you haven't been faithful to what He's given you. Second Timothy chapter 1. You know, when you really think about it, how many times have we've gotten involved in something and didn't complete it? You know, how many times have we said, well, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this commitment, and didn't complete it? You know, we bring a self-imposed curse. Because it's actually a vow before God. How many times have you said, okay, Lord, I'm doing it, and don't do it? brings a self-imposed curse. That's where we have to break those off of us every day. Lord, forgive me for everything. That's why Paul said, what did he say? If the Lord wills. Say, if the Lord wills. Yeah, I'll be there. Don't show up. Self-imposed curse. Because before God, you're a liar. Even if it's out of ignorance. And it opens the door to demonic activity. It's called a corruptible seed that gets imparted. And we must curse those every single night. And break those off of us every night. Lord, forgive me for my words, my thoughts, my deeds, and every vow I didn't commit to. Everything I said I was going to do and didn't do, and everything you asked me to do that I didn't. Forgive me, Lord. And give me the strength not to do that. And curse every corruptible seed that's been imparted in you, that only His righteous seed will grow and bear fruit for His glory.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
We must do that every single night.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. You know, the more fellowship you have in the Spirit, the more sensitive you are to the convictions.
Amen.
The further away you are, the less you're sensitive to the convictions. Usually God has to send somebody across your path. Hello? Now, wait a minute. You might be sensitive in one area because you're listening. But you might not be sensitive in other areas because you've turned your ear off. Does everybody get it? Because we have that free will, don't we? We have that free will and that choice. But we must be sensitive in all the areas so that the fullness of Christ can be manifest in us, so that we become those good stewards and a witness of who He is. Why? Because He's trying to bring something to us, not take away. One thing He's trying to take away from me and you is you. The doctrine of the devil, me, myself, and I. That's what He's trying to take away. Hallelujah, we should be wanting to give it. We should want to fight with them to take it away. We should want to give it up.
Hallelujah.
It's not an easy thing, though, is it?
Thank you.
Let's go to chapter 2 while we're there. And verse 1 and 2. Let's read it, please. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let me tell you something. Faithfulness is a representation of a teacher. Because it's not about what you know. It's about who you know and the example who you're fellowshipping with. So if somebody sees you as faithful, as responsible and accountable, somebody's always looking at you. Now you're the example of Christ. And you know what? You'd be out on the job no matter where you are. Everybody else is complaining, grumbling, whatever. You're laboring unto the Lord.
Amen.
Everybody else is cussing, doing all of this stuff. You're laboring unto the Lord. But let me tell you something. If you're not in the Spirit and filled with the Spirit, you're going to be led astray by them.
Amen.
You'll only last so long until you start following them. And you won't want to, but you got to remember something. Those serpents are biting you at your job. They're biting you. And they're implanting corruptible seeds all the time. They're planting corruptible thoughts. Did you ever notice it when you're in your secular job and they're playing all of this music and you're still sometimes singing it when you're on your way home? It's running in your mind. Well, you need to turn on the praise and worship music, cleanse yourself, get filled with the Spirit again, and get that out of you. People go to these funky movies, these horror movies, these goofy movies. You know, I just like these horror flicks. Go ahead, carry more demons in you. You know, the TV is nothing but a cloning device for Satan.
Amen.
So we have to be wise in what we watch and what we hear.
Amen.
Especially what we speak. Hallelujah. Verse 3. Let's read it. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier, and to God be the glory. Amen. You've been enlisted as a soldier. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. First Timothy chapter. Anybody got a page number?
800.
Hallelujah. First Timothy chapter 9. I mean, First Timothy chapter 6. And verse 20. Let's read it together. O Timothy, guard what was committed to your trust, avoiding the profane and idle babblings and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. Wow. Woo. Come on. By professing it, some have strayed concerning the faith. Grace be to you. Amen. So, you know, Paul was like, hey, Timothy, come on now. Be responsible for the things that have been trusted to you. Don't pick up those fables again and that garbage of the world. And start taking what has been given to you and profane it, corrupt it, but keep it pure. And be responsible. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go to Galatians 6. So we're to guard these things, aren't we?
Amen.
We're responsible. All of us. Glory to God. Galatians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Galatians 6, verse 4. Can we read this together?
Amen.
Glory to God. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Now let me share with you. The rejoicing is because you're pleasing him. Not because you're pleasing man, but because you're pleasing him. So if you'll begin to examine yourself, you'll be going, oh, Lord, thank you for the strength that you've given me to be responsible. Because I know I couldn't do it in my own strength. And see, you know, well, do you ever notice that when you're on track with the Lord and there's just that, hi, Daddy. You know, there's such that fellowship. There's such that, whoa, thank you, Lord. You know, Jesus, when he came out of the water in baptism, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, the words were spoke out from Father above, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Our desire must be to please him. If you truly want a relationship is one that pleases another. Right? Okay, so we must examine ourselves. Verse 5. For each one shall bear his own load. Verse 6. Let him who taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. Verse 8. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we see whatever we sow, we're going to reap. If you're sowing to the flesh, you'll reap corruption.
Amen.
And you will always reap. Amen. Even when you ask for forgiveness, you still must reap.
Amen.
But I'd rather reap with Jesus than without him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 6. So I would say, if you're not responsible with something, you think you're going to reap from that?
Yes.
Amen. And you can't go, yeah, but. And you can't blame it on nobody else. All of us is accountable. Ephesians 6. Wow. Okay, let's start at verse 5. Is everybody there? Bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Wow. As to Christ. So, you know, those who rule us, we must look at them in authority of Christ. Even though if they're wicked, we still must respect the office. Doesn't mean you have to like the person. The Bible says, love your enemies, but you haven't got a fellowship with them. Amen? Come on. Verse 6. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's different, man. That is totally different. A lot of people want to do things before men instead of doing things without man's sight. And verse 8. Knowing that whatever... verse 7, I'm sorry. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Praise be to God. That's self-explanatory, isn't it? Good. Then we can go on. Let's go to Luke 16. So we're laboring unto the Lord no matter what. Even when I'm changing diapers and washing dishes and sweeping floors and whatever you're doing, you're laboring unto the Lord. Luke 16. And when you're washing vans and when you're whatever it may be, we're laboring unto the Lord. Luke 16 and verse 10. Is everybody there? I'm in Mark. I'm not there. Okay. Let's say it. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Wow. So, it's the little things that you're accountable for more. You know, everybody thinks that the big things is, well, man, you know. No, man, it's the little things. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, too. It's the little things that God is looking at. How many times have you walked by something and didn't pick it up? Blaming it on somebody else. You know, the devil wants to do that to us, doesn't he? You know, I can walk in my house or something, and especially coming home from service when I'm pulling all the darts out of me. You know, and my helmet's been dented and everything else. Especially from the jail. Sometimes when you go out there on bad days, it's rough sometimes, man, you know. But praise God. And I'll come home and something will be there, whatever. And I'll see it. And sometimes the first voice I'll hear will say, why don't you just leave it there? Why don't you just leave it there? It's like, no. That doesn't mean you're not going to hear that voice or that dart's not going to come. But you can't allow it to have dominion over you. Amen? You take authority over it. Because my wife and I are partners. We're not against one another, but the devil would certainly like to bring us against one another, wouldn't he? Amen. So even though when I see whatever, and I'm sure everybody else has heard this, and then you hear the devil sometimes starting to bring you to you, and you got to stop him before he brings it any further. When you say I, when you hear I, uh-uh. No. Yeah, well, I do this, and I do that. No, no, no. Stop. Shut up, devil. Down. Beat that flesh down. Bam, 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 bam. Why? Because you're laboring unto the Lord. You know, when I first got saved and filled with the Spirit of God, I mean, I was walking around. When I saw something in the street, I picked it up. I mean, I still do. That's God's world. No, I'm not going to go around in people's backyards and clean them up for them. You know. I'm not going to go, you know, but hallelujah. But, you know, there are times when I walk across the street or something and there's something there and I'll just get quick and, you know, I'm going to pick this up and throw it out. You know, one day I got in a flesh really bad and I was at this red light and these dudes, these guys next to me just got done eating this big McDonald's thing and they opened the door, the whole bag, and they threw it out. I was freaked. I was like, man, what, you guys, what, get out of that car and pick that thing up. And I'm like, man, yo, and I'm pointing, I said, man, pick that up. And they drove off, and the light turned green, and I took off. And the Lord said, why didn't you get out and pick it up? I said, I'm sorry, Dad, I got in the flesh. Why don't I just get out and pick it up? They would have probably convicted them more.
Hallelujah.
But I didn't. So, and I didn't turn around and go get it. It was too much traffic. Hallelujah. Hey, it was one way on an exit, and I'm not going there. To God be the glory. But anyways, let's go back to this. Oh, hallelujah. Okay, where are we at now? Well, we better go to 11. Oh, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So God's testing, that's verse 10 still. Let's read 10 over. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in also much. So, you know, that's where you're being tested. So if you're wondering why things ain't happening as quick as you want them to be, it's because you got to die more. It takes death to self to pick up, doesn't it? It takes death to self to, instead of sticking out one hand, but sticking out two hands. It takes death to self to get out of the car and pick up the garbage. Deny, pick up, and follow. Daily. Hallelujah. In verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Wow. In other words, you. So you're waiting on God? He's waiting on us. Now let's do a couple more of these. It's just getting good. Let's go to 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3. A couple more scriptures and we'll close. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Glory to the Lamb. Now, you know, we don't want to hear that everybody's backing up traffic, you know. Wow, it's about 25 people today that have backed up traffic picking trash on I-4. First Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Let's read it together. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. That's an office, isn't it? A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Wow. Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Wow. Does everybody get it? Now, let's read one more. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So you've got to be a good testimony. That God is looking for faithful stewards to fulfill an office. Amen?
Amen.
Responsible, accountable, and faithful. Glory to God. Matthew 22. In verse 14. Matthew 22. Matthew 22 and verse 14. Let's just read this together, okay? One simple verse. Come on, read it together. For many are called, but few are chosen. Called means invited. Chosen means participant. Everybody get it? Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts 9. Acts chapter 9. In verse 13. Now this is about Saul who became Paul. It's okay.
Nope. I like that. That right there, my wife said it earlier, that when you get this name Paul, I like that guy.
He was responsible. Paul was responsible, accountable, and faithful. But you know why? He was in the Spirit.
Yeah.
He was in the Spirit. 9:13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he did. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. But he's a chosen vessel, isn't he? Let me tell you something. One of the things that happens is you become a good steward. You're going to be attacked. You're going to suffer a lot of things. People are going to come against you, and no matter what. You know, because they're going to see the faithfulness in you. You're going to be that testimony and that sign and wonder. And as you become that sign and wonder, the attack of the enemy is going to come up greatly. But let me tell you something. In the Spirit, he can't touch you. So many people are afraid. It's ridiculous. The Bible says, God's not given us fear, but love, power, and sound mind, right? Hallelujah. One more verse. Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Revelation 17 and verse 14. Is everybody there? Let's hum this one out. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Lord, we give you praise and honor. Lord, the seeds that have been imparted here tonight, we plead the blood. We ask that you'll protect them, Lord. Lord, whatever repentance because of the conviction that you're bringing here tonight, Lord, bring it up. That we might bring it to you, Lord. Loose ourselves from these things. Curse those corruptible seeds and get right back with you, Lord. Because you said it's the little leaven that leavens the whole lump. And Lord, we don't want any of this garbage. We want you all the way. We want the fullness of Christ to be manifest in us. We want to be good stewards and we want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.